Blog Talk Radio.
Another edition of the show. Thank you, everyone. This is PLR. This is the Cave Show. And we have a lot to talk to. Talk the NFL. We got was played this weekend. And then some class. So I want to give you my starting. And I'm sure everyone else will want to give you their thing. Also, we got some open time today. So, you know what? This. If anybody's listening and want to give all to the show, and I'll let you know when, you can call us. We're going to go down. There's no one. 8, 9. Without any further ado, I want to let you know it's going to be on the show today. ML Star, the one and only Ed Smith. He's going to come hang with us for a little bit. Joanna Rosaloon is going to hop on for a moment, please. And, of course, the KO. And on what's right now, online, the star of the one of the best football teams, the New England Patriots, the one, the only Chambers. Chambers, what's happening?
Don't you get tired of that line?
It's true.
It is true. If you actually listen to my show, you would know that your information is false.
Oh, no. You won't come out and say it on a show. That's why I'm letting the people know now. Oh, it's true. As one great wrestler said, it's true. Oh, it's true. What's going on with you tonight?
Yeah. Oh, nothing, Paul. Just here. Ready to talk some divisional championships since when technically should be the underdogs since everybody says we don't stand a chance against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, I never said you wouldn't stand a chance. I picked Pittsburgh to go to the Super Bowl, but I never once said you stand a chance. I mean, let's stick to facts and truths, not premonition lies. I mean, that's what it's all about on this show. I just bring the facts. F-A-C-T-S.
Mm-hmm.
The hard,
so you're
cold
taking
facts.
The Steelers too, I presume.
Well, but I picked them to go to the Super Bowl at the start of the year. So if I say they lost or didn't make the playoffs, then I'd pick another team. I'd get my pick because that's going wishy-washy. I'm not wishy-washy. There's enough wishy-washy people on this earth. Don't put me in a box, Chambers. Let me tell you that right now. Don't put me in a box.
Okay.
Online with us on the Joanna, what's happening? You just joined us. What's going on?
Oh, nothing much. Just enjoying my Tuesday night.
There's nothing wrong with that. I can't think of better people to spend it with.
Of course. I'm glad to be here, be part of the show with both of you and Ed.
Well, you got the walking tree at Chambers on with us right now.
Hello.
You know what I'm saying, right? We got Chambers on with us right now.
Hello.
Hey, how are you, girl?
I'm doing good. How's it going?
Good. Pretty good, pretty good. You know, starting off crazy already. So welcome to it.
Glad to be a part of it.
Referring to me? Would you be referring to me?
Most definitely.
You're a flipper in 2018. I'll let you know when we ain't dealing with your hands. And what's the first thing you get? Your hands. Your shenanigans. Can we do without your shenanigans thing?
Maybe.
I'm asking too much.
It might be.
Sir, what's on this right now? One only. Joanna. Almost going down. Ed, are you with us?
Oh, yeah. I got a bad connection. I was only getting every other word. So, yeah, I'm here, Brother Paul.
Well, right on. You got me and Chambers. Joanna will be clicking back in a second. What's happening tonight?
Not too much, man. Just coming down off of that great football weekend, man. That was, you're talking about some great games, at least, you know, for some of us who happen to pick all of them correctly. You know how we do it, you know.
I got a text before Pittsburgh played, and it said, you know, I'm 3-0.
Yeah, I was on fire this week. But now, seriously, that was some great football, man. You know, what Rodgers did over there in Dallas, and, you know, even, the Pittsburgh game, that was, you know, kind of strange to watch Pittsburgh kick 6 field goals and win a game. But remember, we talked about Kansas City not having enough firepower. I didn't know they would only have to score 18 to beat them, though.
You know, piece of Cliff Clavin's stats here. Kansas City is the first time a team has scored beat a team that didn't score any, you know, obviously any touchdowns. It's never happened. No team has ever scored 2 touchdowns in a game and lost to a team that didn't score any touchdowns.
Leave it to Kansas City to pull it off, though.
Very true.
I mean, I have a question for you. The one thing that I thought was that Houston would give them trouble, and I mean, we all ended up picking New England, but I mean, at the beginning, and Houston did give them trouble in the beginning, like to breathe and actually throw to his own people.
Yeah, the thing that got Houston was good old Brock Osweiler. He showed us exactly what he showed us all year long, the ability to throw it better to the other team than he can throw it to his own receivers. And it's a sad thing, as he actually has offensive weapons. And, you know, they got to be sick over there after throwing all that money in his lap and then watching this performance this year. You know, and quite honestly, you know, New England dodged a bullet with, you know, picking the draw of Osweiler-led Texans, because they played poorly enough that – imagine if they played that poorly this coming week against Pittsburgh. That might be the end of the line for them. So, you know, obviously they had the honor.
Yeah, but you got to think that. You got to give the Texans defense a little bit of credit. Like, yeah, their offense didn't produce for them, but it is the number one defense. I mean, so they had 2 turnovers that were iffy. I mean, the fumble, I'll give them. But those 2 picks were, I mean, Floyd should have caught that one. And the other one, okay, maybe. But you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, so he had 2 picks, but that's against the number one defense. Like, is that likely to happen against the Steelers? It's not likely. It's possible, but not likely.
I'll toss this one at you both. The reason, in my opinion, that the Texans have the number one defense, and honestly, it's all smoke and mirrors with the numbers and stuff like that. Within that division, the teams that they played, imagine if they were in a different division playing better offensive, you know, talent week in and week out, minus J.J. Watt. You know, obviously they played well, but I'm looking at the talent and who they played. You know, you get Jacksonville twice. You get a Indianapolis team that you never know who's going to show up. You get the Tennessee Titans. These are the teams that they, you know, compiled all these numbers against. And obviously, you know, they get out there and, you know, and I'm not going to deny that they have a good defense. I would definitely not call them a great defense, though. That was the one thing that I think it was overshadowed, a lot of these numbers. You know, you have to look at who they're compiling them against. And quite honestly, like I said, Brady, they dodged a bullet because, like I said, they got – and here's the thing. They played poorly and still covered a 16-point spread. And
yeah.
Like I said, that was in part by, you know, who they were playing. So, you know, a lot of it – like this playoff football, I think the best four teams are remaining, and it's, you know, it's put up or shut up now.
That's true. We're going to see.
Okay, I want to see what New England does this week. I think, as Chambers said, Houston is a very good defense. They have one thing, though. That they have that guy. Get back. No one on Pittsburgh really has any more than 5 seconds. So not like that one person. But in saying that, though, that's what you have to worry about. They come from so many different angles and so many ways. Sometimes it's hard for the offensive team to know who exactly to pick up. Is it James Harrison coming from the edge? Is it Shazier coming from the other side? Is it a cornerback coming around the side? You just never know with them. But the one thing that I do think, Chambers, and I'll let you go after this. I mean, I'll let you, you know, chime in after this. The one thing that New England hasn't done is face a real quarterback. It's been a long time since they faced a real quarterback. And the last time they faced a real quarterback was against Seattle, and Russell Wilson went in there and crushed them. I mean, even the last time they played Pittsburgh, it was without Ben Roethlisberger. So they did. They beat them handily, let's be honest. They haven't – the last time they played Pittsburgh – it was with the backup quarterback. Does that have – do you have any concern or worry about that at all?
No, because it's not like we're playing against an elite quarterback and we don't have an elite quarterback of our own. Okay, so you have to understand, like, you're still going in confident. You don't go into a game feeling like you're going to lose. And at this point
– I'm not saying –
no, I don't have the concern about playing against a real quarterback because you have a real quarterback. That's the only a concern of yours if you don't have any elite quarterback.
So you don't think the defense has – I mean, Tom Brady doesn't play defense last act. So there's no worry that this is the first time they're going to play against a quarterback that actually knows – throw the ball to his own team?
Listen, if Pittsburgh couldn't get in the end zone with Kansas City's defense, I'm just going to tell you what. They're not going to beat us scoring 6 field goals. They're going to have to get in the end zone. So if the only concern we have is stopping them from getting in the end zone, they're not going to win this game. And our defense is underrated. It really is.
Ed, what are your – and I have a separate point after you finish.
You know, I think once again, I think you hit on it, Paul. The Patriots, their defense is ranked, you know, kind of a little higher. I think a little smoke and mirrors with them as well because of the type of quarterback they play within their division. They really didn't face a whole lot of, you know, what you call the elite quarterbacks. You know, they faced, you know, the spastic Jets a couple times, Miami, who, you know, Jekyll and Hyde, and, you know, then Buffalo. So, you know, I think both teams have their concerns, one being Pittsburgh, who didn't score an offensive touchdown, you know, in Kansas City. We all know Kansas City is a tough place to play. And then, you know, with the Patriots, you know, they have to be a little concerned that the last couple of weeks, you know, or at least playoff games, we're going back a little bit a ways. I heard something earlier, you know, they were kind of examining Brady's last two playoff games. You know, he went out to Denver last year and took it on the chin and then didn't look so great or so hot, you know, against Houston. So, you know, the playoffs, I will say this, the playoffs are all about who's playing the hottest, at this time. It does, you know, throw regular season out the window. Look at what Green Bay has done in their little in their stretch. The playoffs are all about who's clicking on all cylinders. And I'll say this much. Neither team is clicking on all cylinders. So it might, in my opinion, it might come down to special teams, something like that, that could turn this game. So this is one of those ones, if I'm a fan of either team, I'm not necessarily saying I'm totally confident either way. This game is going to come down to, you know, two thugs in an alley slugging it out. And, you know, may the best man be whoever's left standing with, you know, least amount of blood and the most amount of teeth left in his mouth. That's who's going to win.
Yeah. I do think it's going to come down to whoever has the ball last for sure. I don't think it's going to be – I definitely don't think it's going to be a blowout either way.
How about turns with Green Bay when we switch over to that side? But here's what I'm looking at. I think you're saying – first, I think Kansas City's defense is better than New England. To be perfectly honest with you, the best defense. When you get to the 20-yard line, they're a very good red zone defense. But New England is Dolphins' backup quarterback. The Jets, I don't even have to say another word. Denver's quarterback, don't even have to say another word. And these are all their wins, mind you. They played so they're with the win. Before that, they played. I don't have to say. The first quarterback, I say nothing. Before that, this is an Brady. But sometimes I think a defense can get overrated based on the team that they're playing. If the other team can't score, that helps that defense look a lot. And the same with Pittsburgh. Obviously, Kansas City has a better defense than the Dolphins do because Pittsburgh ran all over them. They scored like their first three possessions. So I think there's a Pittsburgh super low against Kansas City defense, and they were almost too high on the defense of with Miami. You have to take two shots to give Brady a slight edge. They have this running back that the most patient running back in the world, and Le'Veon Bell over on Pittsburgh's side of the ball. And if he's running the ball and getting 160 yards and 170 yards, that, I think, Chambers, is your concern. Because we already know what Brady's going to do. We already know what Roethlisberger's going to do. But offensively, I think that's a concern for you just because if Brady doesn't get on the field, I think that's going to be a bigger issue. Because if Pittsburgh controls the ball, that's going to cut his possessions.
True, but I think that Bell is going to focus on Le'Veon Bell, and their run defense is going to step up. So somebody other than Bell is going to have to beat us. And, you know, they can put him out to, you know, because he could be like a slot receiver, you know, or whatever. But he's not – I don't think he's going to beat us on the ground. If anything, they're going to have to beat us through the air. And that's what Bill is counting on. You know, Antonio Brown definitely can do that. But he's not going to let them run Le'Veon Bell all over there. Because I'm going to tell you why. That's going to take too much time off the clock, and it's more important that you conserve the clock to make sure you get enough points on, you know, on the board versus, you know, dealing with, you know, the clock stopping every time an incomplete pass happens. So I guarantee you their main focus is Bell and you know, having him covered at all times. So that you can probably take that to the bank.
So you don't think the last 2 weeks Le'Veon Bell was the focus of those defenses?
Yeah, but they didn't play against a Bill Belichick coach defense. You know,
okay.
I mean,
I'm just asking.
Let's be real.
I didn't say they were
going to stop him completely, but that's definitely going to be their focus.
And here's my thing, and you know what? I picked Pittsburgh to go to the Super Bowl, but honestly, to me, a coin toss game. I give the edge to Embiid. They're at home. I like the way Pittsburgh is playing overall, but, you know, obviously it's hard to bet against New England home. But you have to worry about stopping if Ben doesn't get on a roll, because a lot of his passes went to their tight end, Jesse James. Then you got to worry about, okay, Le'Veon Bell. Then, okay, now you got to worry about, you know, Antonio Brown. And from someone who played ball at the highest level and went to a Super Bowl, isn't it hard when trying to figure out what you have to take away and what you can live with? Where on the other side, as great as Tom Brady is, for whatever reason, I don't think Edelman, Hogan, and the rest of those wide receivers are putting a lot of fear into Pittsburgh. Now, I'm not saying Tom Brady isn't, but I don't think those are wide receivers that keep cornerbacks up at night.
No, absolutely. You know, the thing is, at this stage of the game, it's all about matchups and it's all about game plan. And then the one thing people sometimes forget, it's all about adjustments. I will give the advantage in that aspect to Bill Belichick and the Patriots, because they adjust like nobody's business. Because, you know, Pittsburgh's going to come in there with a plan, whether they, you know, make some, you know, tinker with a few things, you know, have a couple wrinkles up their sleeves, stuff like that. It really literally comes down to, once we all figure out what the others try to do to us, once we stop that, who can now turn around and do something different, something that, you know, that we weren't expecting. Quite honestly, you know, the Brady has made a lot of receivers with no names, you know, like you ran off a couple of names, like who knew who Hogan was before this year? Brady has done a great job of taking no names and turning them into, you know, I won't call them superstars, but very viable. Let's just put it this way. He's made a lot of people a lot of money that should be making the money they're making. At the same time, Pittsburgh, like I said, they come in there with some, you know, the killer bees, the, you know, the three bees with Roethlisberger, Bell, and Brown. I mean, they are superstar talented. So, you know, like I said, it's going to come down to game plans. It's going to come down to adjustments in the end. And then, like I said, the unknown factor is going to be the special teams. These two teams have played each other so many times over the course of the last few years. They're very familiar with each other, personnel and coaching styles and stuff like that. It really is going to come down to who makes those smallest adjustments at halftime and on the fly in the fourth quarter. So I'm looking forward to a great game. You call it, Paul. I don't even know what the line is, but I wouldn't be too,
Patriots,
you know,
are favored by 6.5, and I feel like that's pretty high.
I think that's high, too. I wouldn't – if I'm a betting man, I might go Pittsburgh on that just with the points alone.
I definitely think it's going to come down to, like, a field goal, and that's what sucks. I think it's going to come down to field goals, because I feel like – I mean, even though it is a win, like, I mean, of course you win Super Bowls, like, you don't care how you win, but I wish it would, like, be more deciding, you know.
Well, when you get to this stage, there usually aren't too many blowouts because there's a reason these four teams
obviously
are still left standing.
Right.
When you got, it's fair to say four out of the top six quarterbacks are playing in this game. I mean,
absolutely.
So, all right, let's whip over to the NFC before we make predictions. We'll start with Atlanta. There really isn't a lot to say about this game. Atlanta kicked Seattle's ass up and down the field. Basically, I think, though, there was a big turning point with Seattle up 10-7, Devin Hester running a punt return back for 79 yards, and that being called back. At worst, they get a field goal. And so now you're looking at 13-7, and everything is a little bit different. And instead, Atlanta goes on to score. They get another score before halftime, and pretty much that's the game right there. Matt Ryan played, and I love the game that their offensive coordinator, Shanahan, called. Seattle was off balance. They didn't know if it was going to be a run play or a pass play. And Ed, they just couldn't keep it together defensively on offensively.
Yeah, that game, once it started, like I said, once the turning point happened, you know, like they lost that great play by Hester. You could see like the air was just let out of them. And we all kind of predicted this one too, with the Jekyll and Hyde offense at home and on the road of Seattle. Once they fell behind and Atlanta got control of that game, it was kind of one of those things where it almost became a non-contest toward the end. And I felt bad for Russell because, you know, they really needed to do something with that offensive line. because he took a beating. He took a beating that I've never seen him take. It was even a couple times where normally, you know, he's so great at getting down and out of bounds or, you know, doing his little thing toward the end of the plays. They had his number, and they had the red dots on him the whole game, and they were just teeing off on him. And, you know, it was one of those things where there was a lot of talk after the game from, you know, Seattle, but you might be looking at, I guess, the decline of their mini dynasty, because if that defense doesn't carry them and that offense continues on the path that they are, they're going to return to the middle of the pack in the NFC, and, you know, it'll be a crapshoot each year, you know, which team shows up.
You know, with Seattle, one thing that I noticed, especially defensively, you better pay him, and when he gets healthy, you better pay him some money, because he covers up a multitude of sins in that secondary for them. And without them, I'm not saying Sherman's not good. I'm not saying Cam isn't good, because we both are. But if those two make a mistake with instincts, and Ed, you know this better than anybody, their safety are just special. They just have a feel for what the back is going to do, and they know where their guys are going to be. So, and some across the middle and jumps a slant. Earl Thomas is always there to back him up just in case. Without him there, they just don't look right. I mean, it just doesn't – that secondary does not look right. And even what the linebackers are doing, they may try to do a hero play. No big deal. You got Earl Thomas back there to come up and save the day. Honestly, as good as all their defenders are, he is the one glue they have that keeps everything together. And without him, Matt Ryan just exposed him.
Oh, definitely. You know, you could tell he was the glue, like you said, that held them together. And they definitely struggled. And here's the crazy part. It wasn't just Matt Ryan who's carved them apart. The last few weeks, they've looked very pedestrian, and it's all because of his absence. So, you know, like you said, they need to back the truck up. And once he gets healthy and dump some money on his front lawn, because they otherwise, like I said, they become a very mediocre defense. And the thing is, and you guys can attest to this just by watching, without that intimidation factor, they, like I said, that was something that you definitely saw. They went a long way just on their aura as far as and you know, going into Seattle, the 12th man. As soon as that myth got debunked, like I said, they became a very average team. And you know, like I said, they're going to spend a lot of time in the offseason trying to figure that out, but. It, you know, like I said, they definitely got exposed by Atlanta.
They better spend, like you said, they better put some money on that offensive line, too, because that's unacceptable. And you know what? I think Baldwin has turned into a nice receiver, but they got to get a receiver. They have to get a receiver that can separate. But after him, they're really – I mean, I like the Paul Richardson kid, and I think he can grow into something. But you also have to have a wide receiver. If you're not going to just open it up and be a Tom Brady team, you got to have some receivers that get some true separations. And that kid Richardson was catching difficult passes. And sometimes you got to have receivers that can just beat their man. When you get at Atlanta with the receivers that they have, with Julio Jones, with Antonio Brown, these guys get separation and make it easy. Guy like Rodgers and like Tom Brady that has to grow someone. Sometimes you're going to have somebody that can actually get open. And with that being said, is why I say Chambers, don't frown up. Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in football today. I'm sorry. I'm not saying he's the best all time. I'm not saying any of that, because I'm not crazy. I've seen Brady play. I've seen Tana play. I've seen Elway play. I'm not ready to put him above all of those guys. But right now, today, if you gave me one quarterback, I could pick just one. It's Aaron Rodgers right now. He has a number 8 running back. He's killing people right now. That player is absolutely incredible. And I hate Packers. And I still think that. Chambers, Ed, either one of you, what that play, what, I mean, please tell me anyone else.
I mean, I can't argue that that's not a legitimate pick. I mean, that's your pick. I mean, it's your preference is what you're talking about here. I mean, we're really like tossing up apples here and seeing which one you catch, you know. I mean, yeah, Aaron Rodgers is probably the best playing quarterback right now in the league today, this year. I would agree with that. You know, he's playing unbelievable and his team is mediocre and he's turning his team into an elite team.
They're in the
you
NFC
know, so.
Championship. They're in the NFC Championship game and you just called them mediocre. They went into Dallas beat the number one seed.
No, like you
have, and you
no,
call them
you're
mediocre.
You're taking it, you're taking it too literal, but he makes his team better is what I'm telling you. His team is not that good. Jordy Nelson's out. I mean, he's making miracles happen that shouldn't normally happen. So, yes, he is playing elite right now. But if you take him away, do you think Green Bay is still in the championship game? No.
Okay, let me
ask
you
a question. That goes to Paul's point, though. He has elevated a team that is, like you said, very average, you know, filling a lot of holes, missing a lot of people or pieces. He has actually elevated that team to this point. And I'll throw on top of your point, Paul. The reason I think Rodgers is playing the best at the quarterback position right now is because just imagine if Brady had his athleticism. Brady has been an immobile quarterback, I should say, for pretty much his entire career. But he's still, like I said, he's won the championships. He's done everything he needs to do to be in the conversation of the GOAT. But imagine if you added the element of Rodgers' elusiveness and, you know, pocket awareness and throw all the other intangibles in there. Imagine if you gave those to Brady and said, go do your thing. Brady would already be hands down the best to ever play the game. Like I said, and that's why Rodgers, in my opinion, he's impressed me just that much more because he has done it, like I said, with all these missing pieces, a team that, you know, doesn't really have what you call great defense. He's got a wide receiver playing running back, and he just continues. Like I said, he impresses me with his athleticism and his arm and his knowledge because people forget, you know, it's one thing to, you know, he's constantly escaping. Then on the flip side, making the big throw when a lot of quarterbacks would just pull down and take off, he still has enough whereabout to find that open receiver and know where everybody is on that field, make the pinpoint accurate pass. And like I said, he's unbelievable. I would have loved to play with a dude like that.
This cat got sacked on the blind side, held on to the ball, and not even as soon as he heard the whistle, he was turning with one knee down to take that timeout. There is a bunch of quarterbacks that would be scrambling to figure out what to do with the bench yelling timeout, 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 which wouldn't have left them those 3 seconds left. I there's no way I can root for anyone in that green and gold. But when you watch him play, it's hard not to say that. But I will say this, and they're not playing this Sunday. If I hear Tony Romo could have done that, to look at that person and tell them never talk to me about football again. Dak Prescott has proven he is the right quarterback for that team right now. Don't talk about Tony Romo. I hear there's an old quarterback competition. I think that Jerry Jones should be checked for his. Dak Prescott, as a rookie, fell behind to a very good team and hung in there and brought that team back. There is no way we should ever mention Tony Romo's name again. Joe Buck had the audacity to say, are they? And they shouldn't have. And they didn't. It wasn't obviously. It's not his fault they lost that game. So Dak Prescott has taken every test this year and has passed every test this year. And when it name me a quarterback, Ed, that has not had one bad game this year. He's got everything you can ask of him. And people say, well, he has a great offensive line. Osweiler has a good offensive line. That didn't help him. He can't perform. So having a good offensive line. But if you don't have a quarterback that can execute plays, make the right play, he's throwing a deep ball. Pass, and I keep saying that pass that he caught off the shoulder in the helmet, that was a perfect pass. He couldn't put that any other place where the defender would not have tipped the ball. He can make all the passes. He can do everything. Tony Romo, listen, and Ed and he's talking about 2 points. One, get off Dax, you know what, because he can play. No more Tony Romo starting. If I cannot trade him for a defensive player, which that contract, I don't think you'll be able to. If I can't get defensive help, you will not start. We could be down 4-0. You will not start. We're bringing you to be our starter. We're bringing you back to be our backup. At 5 years, appreciate everything you've done. Now that the loyalty back, because with back and all the money we're paying you, we can't move you. And we can't take a $25 million cap hit when we have so many needs on defense. And that's really the only thing.
I personally think if the Cowboys are stupid enough to look what Dak did this year, and I've actually already heard a rumor or saw something that Garrett was not willing to already state that Dak was his starting quarterback for 2017. If they're stupid enough to do that, I hope Dak is smart enough to play out this rookie contract. And when the time comes, regardless of whether he remains a starter or not, he's willing to walk on them, because that is about the biggest amount of disrespect I could ever imagine in my life for this kid to win 11 games in a row in a season, take them to a 13-3 record, what, go into the playoffs, do everything he has done, and they are still talking about Tony Romo. I think it would be totally unfair, in all honesty, even to, I don't care what Tony said. If Tony said, look, I'm willing to come back as a backup, you know, no questions asked, I think it would be unfair for Dak to constantly have to look over his shoulder and see Tony Romo even in a backup role. I think the best thing for the Cowboys to do, you either try to get as little or as much as you can for Tony. If you can't get anything because of salary, et cetera, you give him a handshake and a hug on the way out the door and say, you know, God bless, good night, you know, good luck with the rest of your career. You let him move on to wherever he wants to move on. But to have him in the room, you know, looking over Dak's shoulder, I think will be totally respectful to your future friend, who to not future, to your now current franchise quarterback, because this kid showed enough in one season that there is no question, there is no, and at least in my mind, any doubt of the direction they should go. So I said, you hope they're smart enough to do the right thing, but we all know it's the Cowboys, so you never know what to expect.
Gabriel, and I couldn't agree with you more. I think it's absolutely ludicrous, and why I'm just gonna make. Anyone on the lines, they can. How is it that Matt Ryan, who had an incredible year, is Matt Ryan? Tom Brady, who had an incredible year, is Tom Brady. Ben Roethlisberger, incredible year, Roethlisberger. Dak has an incredible year, and Zeke has an incredible year. We got to give a lot of credit there off the line.
You know that's how they do it, man. I mean, you know, you can't.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's just, you know. Well, part of it is we all, you and I and others, we know how the game is played. You know, you can't give too much credit to certain people, and you got to give all the credit to others, and that's just, it's ridiculous. And the fact that Dak had to watch over his back if he had one or two bad games. Now imagine, think about this. In the middle of the season, when the Packers were, what, 4-6, they were trying to – I mean, they if all things are fair and even, they should have been talking about benching Rodgers, for that matter, how he was playing. But, you know, Dak, like I said, all he has to have is one or two bad games, and, you know, they're going to bring Tony Romo with his cape and his, you know, bulletproof vest off the bench to save the day. That was just ridiculous all year round. Like I said, the biggest disrespect for me is the fact that he's still fighting for his job after a 13-3 season. That's ridiculous.
Trying to channel and get these picks out since we're in the NFC.
Man, I tell you, this is a tough one because you're talking about offense against offense. You know, you once again, you know, the your logic tells you to go with the home team. You know, just like everybody was picking Dallas, most people were picking Dallas, not me. The logic tells you to pick them Falcons at home, but I find it very hard to pick against Rodgers and his magic, what he's been doing lately. So I'm going to go my upset special of the week. I'm going with Green Bay in an upset shootout in Atlanta.
I'm going to Green Bay. Here's the thing. I think Atlanta's a better team. I think they're home. I think they have all the advantages. But they always finds a way. And they've won one way, and they find the opposite way. So I'm going with them because of them and no other reason. So I'm with you. And we're in the AFC with Pittsburgh in the Super Bowl, England Super Bowl.
Man, I'll be honest with y'all. My goodness, it's going to sound crazy again. But I'm going to go with the road team pulling another other. I'm going two road teams this week, Pittsburgh for whatever reason. And you heard, and we didn't even get into the locker room talk, but you kind of sensed from Tomlin his displeasure with, you know, the situation, them being playing a late game, you know, New England getting all the you know, the favoritism, stuff like that. I think he's one of them boys fired up. And I'll be honest with you, as a tight end, I would not want to put my hand down on the ground this week and face James Harrison. And I think those boys are coming in and looking for some blood. And I just – the way New England played last week, I see a lot of holes in their offense. And I see the Pittsburgh Steelers being able to exploit some of that, ruffle Tom's feathers a little bit. They're going to put up – I think they'll put up more points, obviously, this week. And I look at – you know, I see it coming down to last possession – but I'm going with Pittsburgh this time around.
We got Chambers back. Chambers, Atlanta and Green Bay.
You said Atlanta and Green Bay? I'm picking
yes.
Green Bay.
So that's three for Green Bay.
Three for
we
three.
We all went with it. I don't
never
know.
I'm against Aaron Rodgers ever again.
Ed, I'm about to ask this question. And I may as well ask this. Do you think it'll be 100 at least one day in July in Phoenix?
Yes.
New England or Pittsburgh?
Well, you know I have to take New England. I mean, come on.
That's why I'm going to ask. But I'm going to ask anyway. Okay, here's my dilemma. And I'll ask you. I pick Pittsburgh. Super Bowl, but it's so hard to pick at home. And Belichick home for Instagram and Facebook, because you know he knows the difference between Instagram and Facebook.
you really think he knows the difference?
Yes, and I believe Saban knows the difference, and I believe Saban when the presidential election was. And I believe, this is their old job. Like they know nothing about football, or nothing about anything other than football. I don't buy that crap. His best player is on Facebook, so yeah, he knows the difference. If Tom Brady is on Facebook, and Tom Brady was doing all his little comic stuff earlier in the year, post pictures butt naked in Europe during Belichick knows what Facebook is. So yeah, I'm going to do something that I cannot believe. I'm actually going to just because it's my pick. Ed, you and I have Pittsburgh and Chambers at the Patriots. And then, Ed, we were going to get into that, and this is really brief. Antonio Brown knows better than to be on Facebook Live in a locker room. He knows better than that.
Man, you talking about disrespectful and just – But that's a diva wide receiver, man, because who other than a diva wide receiver would even think that that was something that would be acceptable? And I'll be honest with you. I'll ask this question. Would you have loved to have been a fly on the wall when he had to go into Tomlin's office after Tomlin found out about what he did? We all know Tomlin is a strong black man. I'm pretty sure he used some black words against Antonio. And we all know what we're talking about. We're talking about digging in that booty a little bit. I would have loved, I would pay to have sat in a chair and they could have said, you can't say a word, just sit there and shut up. I wouldn't even smirk. I would have just sat there and took it all in because that would have been one of the best booty chewings we could ever imagine in this world.
You know, just listening to him at the press conference when he said it was disrespectful and it's against the rules, it's against our rules, it's against the NFL rules, you knew he was going at it. That's one of those.
He named
and y'all
all
both
the rules.
Look, let's not frown. We've all got in trouble with our parents. And instead of them saying, don't do that again, they turn that around and say, I wish you would come home at 12 o'clock again. I wish you would.
Oh. Or how about this one, Paul? How about this one? If you ever.
Yes. What the if you ever worried me, but the I wish you would.
Mm.
I always got it. Because is you when you this house where I pay the rent. So yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I wish you would. A lot of people don't understand that's whenever someone, especially when a brother looks at you and says, "I wish you would," you. It's about to be a fight.
Yeah, I can't figure out what he was thinking with that one right there. That you know, that there's common sense and then there's just no sense. I have no idea what he was thinking there.
Yeah, and then you know what though, I'm gonna tell you this. I don't even need to apologize for his words. I'm gonna be honest with you. When he said those a-holes there, look, if anyone is dumb enough, football don't curse, and they're living in a hole. It happens all.
Yeah, I don't think he had anything to apologize for. He was just doing it just because it got out. But I guarantee you. And the other thing is, over there in New England, I know doggone well they've said just as worse, if not you know that's part of the game, that type of language. But like I said, when you know, he had to kind of put it out there that he was, quote-unquote, regretted his words. But the thing he regrets is that Antonio or that he was stupid enough to do that in the first place.
Yeah, I mean,
yes.
I just thought that, like, you should just know better common sense to tell you that obviously that's not a conversation that the public needs to hear. But, you know, I'm not surprised. You know, and to me it was just stupid. Like, why would you want to fuel the other team? I mean, why would you want to do that? I mean, any sense of it, you guys already know it's going to be a huge rival game. You know, it's probably may or may not be better than the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? So I feel like this is the type of game that this is going to be. So I don't know why he would do that. It's just, you know, you got to have some kind of drama before these big games.
Well, and you don't want to go for games. Drama, an eye before a big game one time, so you know that already.
Oh yeah, I know the bad portion. our man of the year.
honestly, I don't even think he was thinking about the Patriots. I just think he was thinking about the, to be perfectly honest with you. He was coach on the other side of the locker speaking. Honestly, it was Antonio. And how he can market himself, to be perfectly honest with you. I don't think I had anything with New England. I just think wide receivers are different people.
Yeah. You couldn't be more correct about that. That's exactly what he was only thinking about, you know, his marketability and stuff like that. The fact that the head coach is sitting over there talking. Now, you know, here's the thing. Imagine if he was like third or fourth wide receiver on the depth chart. They wouldn't even let him go on the plane to go back to Pittsburgh. But because he's Antonio Brown, you know, he gets a hall pass. But that was all about him. It had nothing to do about the team or the staff or anything like that. It was like you said, he's thinking nothing about his endorsements and how he's gonna make another name for himself, because that he wasn't thinking about anything obviously there.
Nope. Let's make this switch. We're a little bit of a talk before we shut down here. We got two things to focus on. Obviously, we want to make all our stars for you. I'm glad fans only get 50% of the vote voting for All-Star games. So now that I got that out of the way, there was this game last night. You have Cleveland, you have Golden State. Each one last two times. LeBron used to call it a rivalry, because if he calls it a rivalry, then he has to put another player on his level, and he already thinks the only level that he has to chase is the Michael Jordan level. So he's not going to ever call him a rivalry. Then you have Klay Thompson saying what they say is thought out. You have Draymond Green being Draymond Green. You have him committing that flagrant foul. I mean, obviously him and LeBron James don't like each other at all. And then it's a big deal made because Golden State blew him out. I'm going to sit here and tell you guys this. I expected Cleveland to win at home on Christmas Day. I expected Golden State to win at home yesterday. I think none of those games, in terms of intimidating any other team or sending a message, will do either thing. When they meet in the finals will be a different game than a regular season game on Christmas Day and in the middle of January. And I think the ball will go in the air and the best team will just flat out win. But there was no intimidation on either side either way. There was no message sent on either side either way. But it was a fun game. It was a fun game to watch. It was kind of nice to see Steph get the ghost of Cleveland out of his head for a minute. But he's got to do it in the finals. So I don't know if you guys watched the whole game through or got bits and pieces. But do you think there could be a message sent either way in a regular season game in January to two teams that just won the last two titles?
You want that one, Chambers?
Yeah, I mean, I'll take it. I don't know. I obviously don't think so. There's too many games in basketball. I mean, you can't take every single game seriously. So, in their sense, you obviously know they're an elite team, so they're going to be playing their best basketball, when it comes time for playoffs. So, I really don't think that you can judge anything off of these games, especially this early.
For me, I've never seen a season that was already so predetermined that you wish you had a fast-forward button that could just get us to June to get to that matchup, because these two teams both know, for the most part. I think, obviously, Golden State will have a little tougher road because the West is a little tougher, but Cleveland is like on cruise control. They could literally care less about the regular season because nobody on the East is going to beat them in a seven-game series. They already know that. Golden State, like I said, is pretty much, with their talent, they'll get everything, pretty much righted. Like I said, and San Antonio can give them a little scare, but, I see this as one of those things where they are both just – they can't wait to get to that last series of the season. And anything that happens on the regular season is about as inconsequential as you could imagine. Neither one of them, they could beat somebody the other by 100 points. It's not going to mean anything come June.
The only thing that'll make right. There's something to throw in there too. Houston can put up a lot of points.
Yeah.
If they play in the playoffs, it'll be a game series that we've seen in a while. Where they both shoot threes on the court. But until Mike Antonio to me that he can coach a team that gets some key times, and as long as James Harden is still there playing defense, I'm still going to Golden State in an entertaining series. Now, in the East, there's been rumors that Atlanta's in the house. Why? I have no idea. When they're in the fifth seed, we're saying they're not going to get better. If they go through with this trade and Millsap ends up in Toronto, now I think the Cleveland series against Toronto becomes a series. because Millsap legitimate scorer, Millsap and Valachunas and obviously and Lowry, and they're coming up with Big Carroll and Joseph. I think then it becomes a series. I don't think Cleveland will lose. It doesn't become a let's not see if Cleveland wins, but let's guess how many games they might lose in a series. Will it be one or two? Because we know they're not going to lose three. So I think that's the only thing that'll make that even remotely interesting. I said I wish I had the fast forward button to get to the stuff. All-Star game is coming up. I have my paper. A guy I know has been in front of me because I have a yellow sheet of notebook paper that's been folded, beat up. I write in ink all the time, so I scratch names out, put names on. They don't go for the same guards. They do two back court, two front court. Last vote of the fans, they had Dwayne Wade in the starter. They're studying the ballot boxes because they had Josh Pachulia as a luckily this year, Aaron DeVoe, the fans get sent a starter.
Wait, you're breaking up, Paul, what'd you say?
For you to get your five stars.
My top five are all stars?
Yeah, your five stars. Two guards, three front players.
Okay, so I would pick obviously Curry, obviously Westbrook, and then obviously LeBron, and DeMarcus Cousins. And
you're giving me a mix. Cambridge, you're giving me a mix. I need the East first.
I can't just do it together?
They don't play together. This ain't the NFL last year in the Pro Bowl.
I just thought you were in top five.
No. We'll go back. We'll come back around to you. No big deal. Ed, who you got next?
Well, now we're going to, was it two guards and three front courts?
Yeah, that's how they do it now. North center position.
Yeah, I got to go Kyrie. And, wow, I'd go DeMar DeRozan over Wade in the East as far as guards. Then I go LeBron, give Kevin Love a nod, and I go Jimmy Butler in the as far as the front court. And then on the Western side, Stephen Curry, Harden, and Westbrook. I mean, those – I go two of those – well, you got to pick two. Oh, golly, I got to go – I go Harden and Westbrook, to be honest with you. I'm not a big Steph fan anyway. And then on front court, Kevin Garnett or Kevin Durant. Got to get Anthony Davis and Kawhi Leonard.
Okay. And then Chambers, I'll go next. And then you know what? They're going to come out on Thursday. So next week, we'll use yours, what you think yours would have been versus losing her in a bad pickup. In the East, I'm going all Toronto, Ed. I'm thinking Lowry and Rose would be my star too. And then of course, Butler and Love. So we're right online with that. And then in the West, we're a lot of online. Up to Leonard. No deal, but he's still the most talented big man in the game. So that would be a five. Now, we'll talk about reserves this week as well. With the call getting hurt and out the week, that's going to open a spot for someone because obviously he won't be an all-star. Is going to get in. We know that. Even with the press vote, I think there's enough fan votes. And it's kind of sad. That means Isaiah Thomas or John Wall are going to be left off. And one thing I'm thinking of with our games is them leaving off players for nostalgia players. I think that if you know someone's last year, like when it was Tim Duncan last year, Kobe's last year. You want to see that star play one more time. Dwayne Wade just got a 2-year deal. He's obviously not on his farewell tour.
I lost you there, Paul. You said you were talking about Dwayne and his nostalgia tour?
Yeah, it's not nostalgia. He signed a 2-year deal. He's going to play next year.
Yeah.
I have no What'd you say, Ed?
I was saying you got that right. Like when they start, you know, picking guys just because of, you know, like you said, it's not a lifetime achievement award. If it's an all-star game, you want to see the actual best talent out there on the court, and you know they should get their due. It should be their time.
Yeah, if it's just last year, I don't want to see. If it's when Kobe last year, I want to see an all-star game last year. But I don't want to see it to last year. Your name says Carmelo Anthony shouldn't be in the All-Star game this year.
Because you have a name.
And then, you know what I said, two things, but we can do this before we get out of here. Phil Jackson, having notions, having locker room problems, for being the guy that kept everyone on the same page, for managing egos, for getting Kobe and Shaq to play together when they want to. It is amazing that he is the reason why the New York Knicks can't get along. He is the reason why they are such a messed up team. You won't run the triangle. You put Karamis in charge of defense, and his team he coached was the worst rated defense in the NBA. You have who likes to run pick and rolls and control the ball. You have Carmelo Anthony who likes to play isolation, and then you bring in a coach that wants to play motion offense. And then somehow, some way, Carmelo is the reason everything doesn't work. I think unfair to Carmelo Anthony.
Definitely. I've lost, you know, it's hard. I hate to say I have lost some favor for Phil after watching what he's done with the Knicks, even just not showing up. Like when the whole thing happened with Derrick Rose, you know, why do you have your head coach out there answering these questions? You're the GM. You're the Ace Boone. I mean, you should be the one out there head, you know, and shoulders in front of this. And he's, you know, we're to the point now where when he doesn't show up at games, he's like, is he on vacation somewhere? What's he doing? You know, he really – and then, like you said, to call Carmelo out at this point in time – it's like a bad marriage that eventually needs to end. And I think the thing that needs to end is Phil in his position with the Knicks. I think he needs to go at this point.
Yeah, because Carmelo's untradeable. Let's be honest. No one's going to take him 25 million halfway through a season.
Absolutely.
It's not going to happen. Carmelo is – if you – listen, the one thing I give credit to Carmelo Anthony, he's been the same player since he was at Syracuse. There is nothing different about him. So when you sign in for $25 million a year last year, you knew what you were getting. It's like Barry Bonds. Well, you know, Barry Bonds was such an ass. Barry Bonds was an ass last year. Barry Bonds was in Pittsburgh. Barry Bonds was an ass in San Francisco. So all of a sudden, in his last 4 or 5 years, you want him to change and be different because you think he's going to, you know, hey, we're in the media because the media thinks he's going to kiss their ass so he can get a Hall of Fame vote. No, he's going to Barry Bonds. McGuire didn't change. It's funny. Barry Bonds gets called an ass for never speaking, but Mark McGuire never spoke to anybody. Anyway, before I digress, Chambers? Thank you.
Yo.
Okay, everyone's going to happen. Montana, and what everyone should be listening to.
Tune in tomorrow, you guys. Gameplay. We're at 9 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. It's going to be a good time. We're going to go over these playoff games and get you guys excited for the weekend. You guys know how you can reach me on Instagram and Twitter at official_mimi_c. And I got my Snap Face too, and that's at SissySuave84.
And how can everybody get a hold of you?
Man, EdSmithSpeaks.com. And Paul, I got some big things getting ready to happen with my marketing company working with me out in San Francisco. As soon as some things drop, I'm going to let everybody know what's really happening. But big things coming. Be alert.
All right, well, if you say it, that's going to happen. Just put it right pen in ink. So can't wait. We can't wait to hear it. Can't wait to talk to you next week about these title games. So strap it on and get going. Of course, you can get us at The Sports Cave on Twitter, Instagram, and on our Facebook fan page. And then, of course, you can get me directly at PLR on Sports. Don't forget to go to thesportscave.com for articles and everything that's going on and catch up on any shows that you may have missed. Thank you to the Yard Cigar Bar for letting us hang out here tonight. You know, before I get out of here, I'm going to finish this cigar. And I'm on this kick not to drink beer. So I'm drinking root beer because it has the word beer in it. That way I can still get one in. And then, of course, the Yard Cigar, they're actually having a Beer Olympics on the 28th. So make sure you get down here and check it out. An entire day, an Olympic style event of drinking beers, and you have cigars. Is there anything else you need to do to fill a day? It'll be the 28th of January right here at the Yard Cigar Bar on Elliott and Dobson. So I'll be here. I'll be here. That's all I'll say. So make sure you're listening. We appreciate you. And we'll be back next Tuesday. Talk to the World Wars with everyone. So Ed Chambers, thank you all so much. Until then, this is PLR. This is the KO. Have a good rest of your week. Take care.